But I think Lodovic, the reason he found it difficult to accept was because he felt that he would like to hear more about having more meta or consideration, not just seeing an invisible object in realities.
I quite understand the necessity to be aware of realities of everyday life. But I always want to see it in the context of, for instance, the paramis. You should not separate understanding realities as they are. It's not something different from the paramis. In order to make progress towards enlightenment, one must also develop the paramis.
Now, paramis is developing.
Because we are listening.
The kanti, patience, the virya, and the panya, and the sila, see, all parami. We don't have to do parami apart from this moment.
I think also we have to remember that Jarupan wrote a very good book on Dhamma, and that was due to her listening to Ajahn. So at that time, when Ajahn is there at that funeral, she's given so much to Jarupan in giving Dhamma. So what is better than that? Is it that you feel sorry, or you feel that you're going to miss someone? Is that better than having given Dhamma?
It's so human that you feel sorry, because we are still so imperfect, you see. And that is perhaps a problem. It's so natural that we have sorrow. We can't be perfect. We react in that way.
Right. But yeah. Ajahn's always bringing it down to the reality where we may be caught up in some other thing, in an idea of self and other people and having metta and things like that. Ajahn is trying to bring us to what really is there. It has to be understood. That's the only thing that's going to free us, not feeling sorry because someone passed away. We can have that. We can still have that.
It depends on the moment for the listener, you know.
Yeah. We may still have that. Yeah. I'm not saying we're not having that.
First, when I went to the funeral, Queen Jarupan, when I looked at her photograph, that happy face, I didn't feel any sad or
that's
unhappy
nice.
At all.
Yeah.
I was feeling very happy. And it's like, she's there. I didn't feel that she's gone or I miss her so much and stuff like that. And she wrote that book and it was a very good memory and I didn't feel anything.
But she also had a very good attitude too towards what was happening to her.
Mm-hmm.
And that was because of Dhamma.
But I think Nina's point is it just depends on accumulations and there's no point thinking it should be another way or
that's
wishing
true.
It another way.
Yeah.
It's just whatever arises is conditioned and can be the object of awareness at that time.
It can't be wrong to ever hear about Dhamma and about conditioned realities because that's the best thing.
But one can see that any expectation brings disappointment. Whenever there is expectation,
there's disappointment.
Yeah.
You expect something, to hear something, but then you hear something else,
And
then you are disappointed.
Yeah.
So Dhamma is not to make judgment, but to understand reality.
True.
And we will be very understanding person about seeing, hearing, smelling, feeling. Everyone is exactly the same, conditioned moment. One can have metta without speaking or doing anything.
I think the fact that with the dukkha-citta, you know, we're all left feeling sad for somebody that we've lost, but there's patisanti-citta somewhere, and already there's sort of another life. Because I see a bit of death in my job.
Can we say that it's exactly the same like now, arising and falling away?
The momentary death.
We usually think in terms of people and things.
But I heard you say on the radio that we should think of unhappy rebirths because it can be viryakata, help for doing any kind of kusala. I like to hear more about it.
I think that all the teachings bring about the understanding of reality rather than do this or think about this or that. For example, who can know what will be next life, our own next life? For example, that dog didn't know beforehand that he or she would have such fur or eyes and tail and the other things like worms. Who knows next life that it would be like that? But this life, one is like drawing the picture of one's own rupa. One can have 10 legs or more or no legs at all or in the water. See, who knows what's there? It seems like who conditioned that? But this life is like the drawer who is drawing.
It's in the sutta, yeah. Kama, as the painter.
Yeah. We were born to die. The best thing is kusala, as much as one can do each day. Because tomorrow we don't know, but what about today? Akusala is dosa, lopa, and moha. But the best kusala is right understanding. As long as there can be opportunity to hear about realities, this can continue to next life.
Can we say that kusala of the level of right understanding is at least trustworthy compared to kusala of other levels? Because if it's a moment of samatha bhavana and no understanding, there's no accumulation of more understanding.
That's why even samatha bhavana is not included in jnana jariya. There are three kinds of jariya, the vinyana jariya, and ajnana jariya, and jnana jariya. Vinyana jariya is what happens in the day, all the time. It's the citta which experiences through eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and mind, non-stop. That is vinyana, the function of citta, which has to experience. No one can stop its experiencing at all. Even when it's so tired, but it has to be like that. That is vinyana jariya, the way it is. And ajnana jariya, all akusala dhamma in the day, follows very rapidly, unknowingly, all the time. So there are vinyana jariya and ajnana jariya. But for jnana jariya, it doesn't include even samatha bhavana, because it doesn't bring about the understanding of reality. As it is, as not self.
Yeah, it's in the Patisambhida Manga,
right,
it's three.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, not samatha. Mm-hmm.
So one can see what's the best thing in one's life, even it's the vipaka, which is so pleasant. It's just in a moment. It doesn't belong to anyone, just moment of being conditioned and then gone unknowingly.
With the development of right understanding, that's a condition for other kusala to arise, because if you start to understand that it's all anatta, there's more understanding and more tolerance perhaps of other people's...
Yeah. It brings about all types of kusala dhamma, viriya and kanti and metta and ubekha, all parami.
I'm beginning to see that it's not necessary to do all this sila and stuff first. Mm. The right understanding seems to condition other good deeds.
And Buddha taught in many ways about development understanding. All of his teachings are about not having attachment against the world. So one has to see the danger of attachment. Otherwise, Buddha didn't tell us about develop moments of kusala in order to have no attachment. But it's so hard to have no attachment. He knew so well about the way the world is. So just be sandod or santutti. What is that in English?
Contentment.
Yes. Start from that. No one can go to that level of no attachment at all. But one can see and one can know, and there can be the development of right understanding. To be contented.
And to see that attachment is not me, it just is.
And when it's not being contented to what one owns, it shows one's great attachment. Mm. Whatever one does just for extravagance, more than just contentment.
Can we say that lack of conditions wanting to do more kusala and having more kusala?
Truthfully, one has to be so very truthful to see what is kusala and what is akusala. Because when one is like seeing the danger of all akusala, one rushes to do it, to develop it. That is the cheating dhamma. One cannot know that it's cheating. It seems like one sees the danger of lopa and akusala, one would like to have less and would like to have more kusala. But without panya, it's cheating. It always cheats lopa.
Quick results, wanting quick results.
Mm-hmm. But it cannot be like that with our panya. And panya cannot grow like that just in a day or in a month.
lunchtime, Susie mentioned that she said something to you about nearly not coming because of the bombs or whatever, and you said something about conditioned dharmas. What were you saying?
Can we be safe here or there? Or there can be danger any place, any time.
And that's what brought us. We felt we were probably mm-hmm. in more danger in our street.
Why and why not?
And
see,
why and why not? Yeah.
There must be conditions for each moment. Even sitting right now, there can be condition for
an accident. Yeah.
Yeah. So while one is so very confident in karma and conditions, wherever one is, it depends on what is conditioned to arise. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking.
I was thinking exactly this while driving the car. I was a bit careful not to drive at some points too fast for fear of other people behind me. But then I thought, if no one really thought about the speed of the car or anything, because speed is just thinking.
You forgot the previous karma, ready to be conditioned.
No, but our fears come from concepts.
I was going to say, it's a self. I think I didn't fear any bombing. I just feared my meanderings away from the teachings and Dhamma. And here I'm going to be with you who have been faithful and continuous. And I feel like the prodigal son returning to the fold or something of what have I forgotten and what do I remember? So it's really self that was the fear.
Mm-hmm. So one knows that there is only one way, awareness. In order to understand reality at this moment as it is. Like now, visible object is appearing. Developing the understanding of visible object as just a reality which cannot be anything or anyone at all. But there can be dreaming about visible object which is now appearing as many things, many people. Otherwise, there cannot be a moment of directly experiencing the arising and falling away of any reality, which is now arising and falling away. So it's not a matter of trying to go somewhere, to sit and try to see something which arises and falls. It's the understanding, the development of understanding very naturally that can arise and begin to understand visible object little by little. Even not here, there can be condition for being aware or understand visible object, little by little. Otherwise, we keep on saying visible object is not anyone at all. No one is seen, only visible object is seen. But now it's seen, and it's just a reality which can impinge on the eye base, and the citta can arise and see it, and then citta falls away, rupa falls away, no one there. No one here at all, only the succession of realities from moment to moment. Everything must be clearly understood, and this is the development of understanding. And one can understand that understanding develops, not I who develops it.
It's a secret wish that you wanted to develop.
It's there,
yeah.
The Sakkaya Ditti,
yeah.
The self is there.
Deep-rooted, accumulated tendency.
Mm-hmm.
You can't stop that, but you can try or not.
Well, understand.
Understand it.
So it's such a long way to go to understand that even sati is not I.
Because we hear it and we know in theory.
Brave enough not to do anything but developing understanding of whatever appears because it has arisen already.
You mentioned where you hadn't been reading, you hadn't been listening,
It doesn't leave you, though.
The only method is in developing of satipatthana regardless.
Forget about satipatthana, but develop the understanding of reality which appears. At that moment, it's sati already. You don't have to say or to claim that it's sati at all. It's there. Otherwise, one is forgetful, not knowing or developing the understanding of reality as it is from one doorway to another doorway. There is awareness of a reality, and next is the self again. Before there can be the understanding of all realities, it has to be developed by conditions. So one can understand how long a savaka can become enlightened. Not in one life. And one cannot tell how much more. It depends on the understanding right now.
hard to teach that to other people.
Yeah. Because we don't understand it ourselves.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's the trouble. When I talk to friends at home and then start to try and explain it, I become confused.
Maybe because you read a lot, so you'd like to experience it very soon.
Mm.
Because you go to different level of vipassayana or ayatana or patichasamuppada, so many words. But what about the anattaness which now appears? We have to come back to the word Dhamma, how much we understand it as realities. They have their own characteristics. For example, some would say, the reality has its own characteristic. And what is its characteristic? Thinking comes again, try to find out, while the characteristic is appearing. Visible object is appearing. Its characteristic is that which can impinge and appear to seeing only. So all realities now arise and fall away unknowingly and looking for different characteristics, but actually each moment each characteristic is appearing from moment to moment. So it depends on understanding even the word Dhamma, the characteristic, what appears. Yeah. We used to study by words and think about the meaning and definition, but not the characteristic which appears. So it has to come back to this very moment. Like in the time of Buddha, no paper, no book, but realities right then must be seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, exactly the same, no matter where. And some doubt about seeing. Where is it and how is it? Can it arise without rupa? And something like that. That is only thinking. But when we talk about seeing, we talk about this moment. It's here, it sees, but it's not visible object. It is conditioned, and as soon as it sees, it falls away, because at the moment it's thinking, not seeing. By understanding reality right now, one understands the meaning of studying.
We spoke before about nimitta, so does sanya mark nimitta as well?
Sanya arises
so
with each
other. That's why it appears to be a long story.
Right. If there's no understanding of any characteristic right now, it's impossible to understand Tathu.
Dhamma seems to be a bit far there.
Okay, let's say that we don't know anything at all right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something appear right now? Is there anything appear right now?
Yes.
What is it?
I can say it's Dhamma, but I really
don't say that it's Dhamma. What appears?
Some experience.
What is it?
Seeing.
Seeing? So, seeing is real. We start here. Seeing is real. Do we know anything about seeing?
Not
yet. But it's here. Can we have seeing at will? Can we condition to have seeing? No. So can we understand that?
We can.
Yeah.
Because in the big story, you think, oh, well, I'll shut my eyes and I can't see. But when you do take it to that moment by moment, you can't control what you see at all.
Okay. Can you have the eye base at will? So can you have seeing at will?
No.
We have to come deeper and deeper to the source of seeing, that it's conditioned. Without the eye base, it's impossible. Even there is eye base conditioned by karma arising and falling away, without the visible object which contacts at that very moment, there cannot be seen, nothing can appear. So we see that just that, the eye base, only that rupa can condition the visible object to appear. It's like the taste or the flavor. It's in the kalapa, the rupa, hardness and softness is there. But without the tongue base, can the taste appear? So we can see that they are all Dhamma, no self, no one at all, if we think and understand. But if we take it for granted, it seems like we can do anything. We born with eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body and mind. But who conditions all these realities to arise? Some doesn't have eye base, some doesn't have ear base. Why? and we have different thinkings. Why do we have such different thoughts according to each moment, which is accumulated long, 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 long time ago up to this moment? We don't know what will be our next thinking, kusla or akusla. So why do we fear anything to arise? Because there are conditions for its arising anytime.